Hello, and welcome to Kingwood United Methodist Church. Thank you for joining us today. Wherever you're listening from and whatever service you're listening to, we strongly believe because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there is always more to life.
Good to be with y'all here today. I know it's been a hard week for some of y'all, and I just wanted to say that if you need help at all, if you need assistance, kids, y'all can go to the back. I'm Pastor Jeremy, by the way, or Kate, what's my new name that you've given me? Rev? Yeah, thanks, Kate. I'm Pastor Jeremy, one of the pastors here on staff here, the pastor of discipleship here at the church. Really glad to be with you all this morning. I know it's been a hard week, and if you need any assistance, need help from us, to reach out and let us know, and we will assist you in the best ways that we can. And if you want to volunteer, I think we're figuring out this week what we can do going forward in response to the winter storms. Paul, when he writes his letters, he always says, brothers and sisters, because to Paul, the church was his family. And so we as a family together, we rely on one another. And so if you need assistance, don't feel like you can't reach out to your family here at the church. We are in a new sermon series starting today called Crossroads. And it's looking at this text in Jeremiah 6:16, if you want to pull that up on the screen. We're looking at this text in Jeremiah and looking at this idea of what does it mean to be at crossroads? What are these crossroad type moments where we have to choose Jesus or choose the way of the world or choose things that are not Jesus? And so looking at this passage in Jeremiah, it says, this is what the Lord says, stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. During this Lenten season, we're going to be looking at this text and those verbs that are in this, standing at the crossroads, looking, asking for the ancient paths, asking where the good way is, walking in that path, and finding rest. Those strong verbs in this passage. And looking at the Gospels of Jesus and these crossroad moments that he has with people, where he meets someone and he offers them either his way or the world's way. And what do those people respond? And how we ourselves are having these crossroad moments during Lent. And so today we're talking about that first passage of standing at the crossroads. What does it mean to be people who stand at crossroads? So as we start this Lent season, we're literally standing at the start of a journey. We're standing at a crossroads right now. And we're going to be looking at John 1, verses 35 through 42, if you have your Bibles. If not, it'll be up on the screen. And we're going to be looking at Andrew. How many of you know who the disciple Andrew is and all his wonderful and mighty deeds that you remember from Bible school? Andrew had like two stories written about him in Scripture, and we're going to read one of them today. So we're reading the one thing that he's written about today. The second thing is during the feeding of the 5,000, he says, hey, Jesus, here's this kid. He has fish and loaves. That's about it. That's all we get of Andrew. We don't really hear much about Andrew even in the tradition. Usually for most of the apostles, we have sort of a rich tradition of here's what they did, here's the stories of the places that they evangelized to and how they died in the church. With Andrew, we really don't have all that much. We know that he was martyred for his faith, but we're not sure exactly why or where. We don't really have any stories about his missionary journeys. One thing we do know about Andrew, though, is that he was the brother of Peter. Now, how many of you have heard about Peter? I would hope most of you have heard about Peter. Peter's one of the most famous of all the apostles. There's probably Peter and then John. And so Peter was the one that Jesus says, you are Peter, on this rock I will build my church. Yeah, it's this guy's brother. And I don't know if you remember the Harbowl, the Super Bowl that was between the two Harbaugh brothers a few years ago. And it was between John and Jim, the Ravens and the 49ers. Being an older brother myself, I was rooting for the Ravens, not because I like the Ravens, but because I like the idea that the older brother always beats the younger brother. And so that's what I was rooting for. And you don't know my brother Jason, but if you did meet him, you'd be like, are Jeremy and Jason really brothers? He's sort of the exact opposite of me. He's kind of the social butterfly, very outgoing, sort of the life of the party, the loudest person in the room, because that's how loud he shouts all the time. Kind of the opposite of me, the one who stands out the most. And so I kind of know what it's like to be Andrew and have Jason be the Peter and the one that everyone knows and the one that everyone sees, and I'm kind of just Andrew sitting here in the background. So as we look at Andrew, the disciple, the brother that many people forget about, we look at Andrew and we say, what does he have to offer us? What can Andrew give to us here today? Andrew's really only mentioned once in church tradition. I found this pretty interesting. I don't know if it correlates to the sermon, but it's an interesting fact that Andrew had a vision from the Lord to tell John to write his gospel. That's sort of one of the ancient texts that we have is Andrew told John, hey, Jesus told me to write this, your gospel. And John was like, okay. So we can credit Andrew for the gospel of John, which is probably why in John's gospel, that's where Andrew's mentioned the most. So we're going to be looking at John 1 at this crossroad moments for Andrew. So as we read this text here together, I want you to pay attention to Andrew's story in particular, to listen to his crossroad moments as he is standing at a crossroads in this story. So starting in John 1, verses 35 through 42, the next day, John, being John the Baptist, was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus asked them, following, and said, what do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at Peter and said, you are Simon, son of John, and you will be called Cephas, which is translated to Peter. So we're looking here at Andrew, and he's sort of an unnamed person here at the beginning, a disciple of John, a follower of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist sees Jesus passing by and says, that is the person that you need to be following, not me. That is the Lamb of God. And so Andrew now has this choice. Am I going to stay following John the Baptist, or am I now going to follow Jesus? Who am I going to be a follower of, John or Jesus? This first crossroad moment that we see Andrew encounter, that Andrew is literally standing at the crossroads, having to decide between two people, who am I going to follow? Who am I going to follow?
Thanks again for joining us for today's message. We will return to the sermon in a moment, but first, we would like to ask for you to rate, share, and subscribe to our podcast. We believe God is doing some amazing things here at KUMC, and your feedback helps our church to reach new listeners that we wouldn't otherwise be able to reach. Now, let's get back to the Word.
Do I keep doing what I've always been doing? Do I keep following John? John's been good to me. Or do I go and follow the Lamb of God that John is pointing me to? Do I go and follow this Jesus fellow? Or do I just stay on the path that I've been going on? Following John the Baptist is a good person to follow. Like if I had to say if you weren't following Jesus, John the Baptist is like top 2 or 3. So, I mean, it's not like he's following some schlub here. He's following John the Baptist, who Jesus says is one of the greatest men to have ever lived. But the reality is, no matter how good John the Baptist is, John the Baptist is not Jesus Christ. No matter how good John is not Jesus. And John himself recognizes this, that I'm not the ultimate one that you need to be following. You need to follow after this guy. You need to become his disciple, pursue after him. John was not the Lamb of God. Jesus is. And so as we're standing at a crossroad now in this Lenten season, as we ourselves start this journey to the cross and ultimately the empty tomb, as we stand at the beginning of these 40 days of reflection and fasting and repentance, that we look and we say, who are we really following? Are we really following after Jesus? Or have we settled for someone less? Have we settled for someone or something that is not Jesus? At this critical juncture in Andrew's life, he saw that John could never offer him what Jesus could. We find that John or Andrew makes the decision to follow Jesus, and his life is radically changed as a result of it. That Andrew becomes one of the 12 apostles. He becomes one of the 12 who births the early church. And all this that we see today is a part of Andrew's work and the Holy Spirit at work within him. That Andrew follows Jesus for these 3 years on earth and he sees wonderful and mighty things. And this only happens because he made the decision to start following Jesus instead of going on with what he was doing. That Jesus invites Andrew into this wonderful, beautiful, but costly journey. But for Andrew, it was all worth it. And it all starts here in this moment in this text of who am I going to follow? And so the question before us today as we start Lent, who are we following? Who are the voices that are discipling us? Are they people like John the Baptist? Are they a certain pastor? Are they a certain podcast you like to listen to? Maybe it's a politician or a political ideology. Who are we really following and being discipled by? Or are we really following Jesus and letting Jesus be the one that disciples us? Are we walking along the road with Jesus? And so as we stand at the crossroads to begin Lent, let's ask ourselves, who are we following? Who are we following? You know, there's been a rash of, maybe not rash, it seems like every celebrity Christian has had the darkness of their secret life exposed. I think this has came up recently with Ravi Zacharias. But there's also recently Bill Hybels and Carl Lentz, if you may remember those names. These were celebrity Christians who kind of had this secret hidden life of the sexual abuse that they were doing behind the scenes. And as we find and we follow these figures, we realize that they are not Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that every pastor that you follow has this, you know, duplicitous life. But it's the reality of, are we putting all of our hope in these people? Are we letting too many people be mediators between us and Jesus? Or are we saying, I want the real thing, I want the real Jesus? I remember when the Bill Hybels news broke, he was the senior pastor at Willow Creek Church in Chicago. And he really transformed my understanding of leadership. There were multiple sermons I watched of his where I was just like, that, it just like made things click for me. And I remember in church that morning when I heard the news break of his sexual abuse that he was doing behind the scenes, and I thought, I had this like crisis of faith. Like, Lord, I thought he was the best of us. Lord, he was doing so much, he was doing so good. How could he have kind of this secret life? How could he kind of have these things happening behind the scenes? And I really had this like really shook me pretty badly. Because it's like, Lord, who can I trust then? Because he seemed to be the guy who had it all together. Who can I trust? And sort of in my prayers and the days after and weeks after, I really felt the Lord impress in my spirit that I was following after someone who wasn't Jesus. That I had put my hope in this man who, no matter how good he seemed or no matter how good those people actually are, the reality is they are not Jesus Christ. That they are not Jesus Christ. And that if we really want to be a follower of Jesus, we can't let a mediator do the work of following Jesus for us. We have to become true followers of God himself. So as we stand at this crossroads, let's be like Andrew, who said, John the Baptist is good, but Jesus is so much better. That Jesus is the Lamb of God, not this John that I'm following. A good illustration of this in my own personal life, is in my healing journey. I've mentioned this before. I felt God challenge me one day, do you believe that I can heal you, is what the Lord challenged me. He literally put me at a crossroads and said, are you going to keep doing it the way you've always done? Or are you going to choose to follow after me even if you don't know where it leads? And thankfully, I chose to follow after Jesus, and he breathed new life in me and brought healing into my life. But we stood at that crossroad moment, and I'm sure that there are many times that you can think of these big crossroad moments where we say, am I going to keep doing the way that I've always done it, or am I going to do something new and follow Jesus? And so as we look at Andrew's story, we look at the decision he made to follow after Jesus. And that's a big kind of crossroad. Do I stay with John or do I follow Jesus? But what's interesting is in the text, there's another kind of smaller crossroad moment that Andrew has. I want to read that here. It's at verse 41. It says this. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. At this lesser or more ordinary crossroad moment, you know, we put a lot of emphasis on these big mountaintop experiences in the faith. That these big crossroad moments, sort of these big mountaintop things, and we say that is what the faith is all about. And while that's a part of it, it's also about these smaller crossroads that Andrew faced. He says, I have encountered Jesus. I spent the afternoon with him. I spent the evening with him. And there's something different about him. There's something new about him. There's something that I just need to follow, that this person, the Lamb of God that John has pointed out to me, he is the Messiah, the promised one, the anointed one of Israel who has come to rescue us. And so what am I going to do with this information? And he says, I will either keep it to myself or I'll tell my brother about it. And he decides to go and tell Peter that this simple decision, do I tell my brother about what I've experienced or do I keep it to myself? This simple decision was Andrew's greatest impact in the world. That because Andrew introduces Peter to Jesus, you could trace back the fruit of Peter's ministry to Andrew's decision to introduce Jesus into his life. Too many times we think these big crossroad moments are all that matters, when the reality is it's that plus these smaller daily crossroad moments where we stand every day and we say, am I going to follow Jesus today? Am I going to follow Jesus in this small way, this decision at work? Am I going to follow Jesus in this, or am I going to follow the way of the world? In my use of my time, am I going to follow Jesus, or am I going to follow the way of the world? And we make these decisions like this all the time. And I've made decisions like this too, just to give a few examples. In my healing journey, there were a few kind of these small crossroad moments where God brought radical transformation. One was a decision to fast to get clarity on something. And at the end of the fast, the Lord brought real breakthrough into my life. Another decision was to start by praying prayers of thankfulness. I felt the Lord say, I want you to start by being thankful for all that I've done in your life. And how that radically transformed my relationship with the Lord and my prayer life. And these are crossroads that you are making every day as well. The decisions that you've made to fix your neighbor's pipes. The decisions that you've made to help in times of need. The decisions that y'all made on Friday to go and bring toilet water to the Kingwood Senior Village. The small ways that you take time out of your day to disciple your children. The small ways that you pray and read scripture, those are these daily crossroads that y'all are already doing. And these are the small crossroads that have huge earth-shattering impact. And so as we're invited into this Lenten season, the season of repentance, of fasting, of reflection, Let's commit to both these big crossroads as well as these small ones. That we are standing at a crossroads. And which way are we going to go? Are we going to go the way that we've always done it? Way of the world? Are we going to go the way of Jesus? To maybe commit to read scripture or to pray over these 40 days. To fast from something. To be vulnerable with someone about what you're going through, maybe for the first time. To ask someone to pray over you and for you. To buy food for those who don't have it. Help fix pipes or bring water to those who don't have it. At these daily crossroads we stand at, we can choose to follow Jesus at. These big crossroads are important, don't get me wrong. But Andrew's act of introducing Peter to Jesus was the biggest impact that he made. So do not despise the small things. Do not despise the small things. I have a few reflection questions for us as we go throughout our week. So the first is, have you been following John the Baptist or have you been following Jesus? Have you been following, oh yeah, band and prayer team, come up. Thanks, Ryan. Have you been following John the Baptist or have you been following after Jesus? Have you been following a person or Jesus? The second is, what are some daily crossroads that you can stand at and choose to follow Jesus? What are the more simpler ways, the smaller ways? And just because it's a smaller way doesn't mean it's a lesser way. That small decisions matter as well. So as we start this Lent, let's look to Andrew then, that now is the time to choose Jesus. Maybe Jesus is inviting you to a healing journey that he's stirred up here today. Maybe he's inviting you, maybe he's inviting you to be free from the bondages of sin that you've been greatly ashamed of for such a long time. Maybe Jesus is inviting you to be free from addiction. Maybe Jesus is inviting you to follow him in a deeper and new way. Or maybe Jesus is just inviting you to say, come, be close to me and let me show you my goodness, my mercy, and my compassion. So the prayer team is going to be up here. If you didn't get a chance to respond beforehand and you feel like the Lord's telling you, get up there. I've had that happen before where God told me to get up there and I didn't. And so if that's you, the prayer team is going to be up here again. And then also, if you just need prayer over anything, the prayer team is going to be up here today. So let's stand as we sing this last song. Stand in your love as we stand in the confidence that our God is with us and will always be for us.